And praise the Lord, good to be back from our senior trip, and seniors all had a great time, and we had an interesting time, but it's always good to be back, and somebody said, yeah, that was a great vacation. Being with a bunch of teenagers slash adults, it was good, it was all right. But they are good kids, and we had a good time with them. I just found out today, this is the first time I found out about the prank, at least one of them. I don't know if there were more, but I just found out today one thing that took place that I didn't know about. So I don't know if that's good or not. I'm not sure. I haven't verified it, but anyway, boy, to be able to keep it from me, I must have been asleep most of the time. But anyway, it's... It is always good to be back, and certainly miss you folks, miss this class, and it's always, when you're in another church, it's just different. It's always different, and I always like to come home, amen. I don't know how you, if you feel the same way. It's nice to get away, but especially when it comes to church. We were in a good church down there, Oak Hill Baptist Church, but it's a country church, and I know that's hard to imagine in that area. If you've ever been in Orlando area, it's hard to imagine anything in the country. There's just people everywhere, and interstates. Well, this little church is just south of Kissimmee, and really close to where our house was, and actually the last couple years where we've rented houses. And so we found this church last year, and the pastor is just a good old boy. Bless God, they just love the Lord. Let's all stand up and hug a neck, amen. And we're just having a good time. And I it's just so laid back. The kids love it, and we had a good time. And the singing in the South, you would think the singing would be faster, but in fact, it is always slower. And I'm struggling. You know, I'm trying to get things. But they have a little songbook, little blue book, I call it. And I remember last year, that little blue book had some songs I've never seen before, never even thought of before. But then it had some old-timey songs, you know, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? And that's a good song, and we had a good time. Teenagers enjoyed it, and we had a lot of fun. But it's always good to get back. And we miss you folks. We love you, and we're just so glad to be back to be back in one piece. I don't know if you've heard yet about the one activity last Wednesday, and I preached at that little church on Wednesday night, so I had to avoid the activity, knowing I was going to preach. But there's this thing called a sky coaster. How many of you have ever heard of that? It's a real tall, 300 feet pole, and then it's got this like a horseshoe shape thing, and this bungee thing is attached to it, and they haul you up way up to that 300 foot height in this sling kind of a thing where you're face down, and they haul you up there 300 feet, and then you pull the cord and it drops you, and then you swing out over the water and all that. Now I was preaching that night. I want you to know that that is the reason why I chose not to participate in that activity. I wanted to stay in the spirit and the body. So, but my wife, you know, she likes stuff like that. She wants to parachute. She would jump out of the jet. And I mean, she likes all that. And that is probably the one area we just aren't in agreement on at all. I like my feet solid, all right? But she and everybody except for one of the guys, he was being spiritual with me. They all did it. And they did it. Actually, a couple of them did it twice. And it just, we've got videos and all that of it. And hopefully you get a chance to see that. But literally that first drop, it's just straight. It's just whoosh, and then you swing out. And of course, they're like this. And I'm just saying, God bless y'all. I'm glad you did. But great trip, good time. Saw the Raymonds. Got to spend an evening with them down there. They came, and then saw Caleb and Lydia and Sarah Nixon and Abigail, and got to fellowship with them and had a real good time with them. And they all, of course, say hello. And it is hot. It's just plain old hot. And I know you're anxious for hot here, but it's just hot down there. And praise the Lord to be back, back home, and I'm glad to see all of you here. Well, we're in Revelation chapter 4, and we looked at a couple of verses as our scripture to study. I gave you lesson 13 2 weeks ago, didn't I? You have lesson 13. Everyone should. If you need it, raise your hand. Linda needs it up here. Anyone else? Lesson 13? Several. All right, we have several now. Lesson 13, and we are starting a new section, section 3, covering Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Section 3 I've entitled, The Ability of the Lamb to Open the Book. Boy, isn't it great that he can do anything? Amen. Isn't it wonderful? There is nothing that our God cannot do. Nothing at all. Praise the Lord. I mean, he can do everything. And oh, who's going to open the book? Which cantata is it, Don? Where, who is worthy to open the book? Is that Then Jesus Came? Not on it? All right. Anyway, I remember enough to know that that is one of the songs. But, boy, it's a good song. Who is worthy to open the book? Hey, you know, can the president? Oh, no, president can't. Can the pope? Nope, pope can't. Can the, you know, the prime minister? Nope, he can't. Who? Well, who can open it then? No, there's no one can. Oh, the Lamb. Amen. The Lamb is worthy. Praise the Lord. So that is section 3. We'll be on that for a while. When I say for a while, who knows? It's just always hard to tell. But this lesson 13, is the ascension of a saint. And literally, we are only going to cover 1.5 verses, Revelation 4, 1 and the first part of verse 2. And so it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. We looked at scripture to study, Revelation 4, 1 and 2a, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, and then 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 17, and therefore we took as our memory verse 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It is a familiar verse, but it goes right along with this lesson, lesson 13. We are going to talk about the hint of the rapture. Now, I call it a hint because I think that's all it is here. It is a hint. I'll explain that in a minute, but I think we have a hint of the rapture. The preacher was preaching down there in Florida, and he used the words, come up hither, talking about the rapture, and that is the hint that we find. There are a couple of little hints in between chapter 3 and chapter 4 that I just simply will call hints of the rapture. It is not the main emphasis. It is not meant to be the main emphasis. It is simply a hint. But 1 Thessalonians 4:16, that is what it's talking about, I believe. And so let's go ahead and we'll say this verse as our memory verse. And we'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again. And begin. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And again, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Father, thank you again for this privilege to be back behind this pulpit and in this church with these folks that I love so dearly. Thank you, God, that we have the Word of God that we can study. Please make it come alive to us. Make it work in our hearts and our lives. May it not just be a study time. May it be a time where our lives are changed because of what we read. Help us to look forward to your coming. Help us not to be so worldly minded that we can't long for the coming of Jesus. But help us also, Lord, to realize there's a lot of work to do here until you do come. So please, speak to our hearts now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. And so we come now to Revelation chapter 4, and we were in chapter 2 and 3 for quite a while, but chapter 4 now is it's everything changes. And one outline, and many commentators, many authors about books dealing with Revelation, they break down the book of Revelation in Revelation 1 and verse 19, and they divide it this way, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And certainly chapter 1 are the things thou hast seen. That's the past. Chapters 2 and 3 were to the present churches, the churches that we dealt with. That's the things that are, or things which are. And then chapters 4 through 22 deals with the future, the things which shall be hereafter. It is a good outline, and I could have stuck with that. And certainly I'm not saying that's a bad outline. I just simply chose to do it the way I'm doing it. But now as we go into Revelation, and by the way, this is why most people want to study Revelation, because they want to hear about the hereafter. We're interested in the future. We're interested in thinking about the Lord's return. And especially the older we get, the more interested we are in thinking about the Lord's return. And we go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, you are not healthy. You've got problems, you know. And then all of a sudden the truth comes to us. Well, it's appointed unto man once to die, and I'm going to die. But I'd rather the rapture. And I know we all would rather the rapture take place than to die, because we've never died before. Well, let me just tell you this. You've never been raptured before either. So, you know, either way, we're in the Lord's hands, and it's up to Him, and His timing is always perfect. But I dedicate these 1.5 verses to the hint of the rapture here. There is a hint of the rapture in verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. And there's also a hint in between, because in chapters 2 and 3, we're talking about the churches. In the first three chapters of Revelation, churches or church is mentioned 19 times. That is very significant. 19 times. But then, starting with chapter 4, church or churches are not mentioned again until chapter 19. Now, there is a, and I believe, and again, I'm just calling this a hint. You say, well, I don't agree. I don't see it. And that's okay. You don't have to agree. You don't have to see it. It does not matter, because there's enough in Scripture talking about the rapture that, you know, we you know, believe it is going to take place, and it is the next thing to take place. But a hint. Now, you say, well, I mean, the rapture's a pretty big thing, isn't it? Oh, my folks. Oh, wow. You think about the rapture. I mean, we just came from the land of animation and, you know, all of that, where pretty much anything can happen, right? I mean, rides that are unbelievable. I mean, this thing they did, it still boggles my mind that people would actually do stuff like that. You know, and they call that a ride. They're doing it all day long. You know, folks are dropping 300 feet and then swing. I mean, it just boggles my mind. All the things that go on. In all those parks and all that kind of stuff. I mean, with electronics and what is available now, we live in a day that it's just absolutely amazing. But there is nothing more fascinating than the rapture. It should boggle our minds thinking about the rapture of the church. The dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, right? And we're just gone. Do you think, what happens to my clothes? What happens to my ring? What happens to my false teeth? I don't have false teeth. You're thinking that. What happens to your toupee? What happens to your glasses? What about your contacts? I mean, what? We're just gone. Now, there's a hint. There's a hint, because that's what happened to John. And a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard, where it was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, boom, immediately, And we have just an idea of how huge this event is. We're just going to disappear. So if you're talking to an unsaved person, maybe you're out soul winning, as folks were yesterday, and you're at somebody's door and they're not saved, and the rapture takes place, you're gone. You just vanish. I don't know if your clothes just drop right there. I don't know how all that works. The Bible does not say. We have other thoughts about that. But boom, we're just gone. And all the countless thousands of Christians are gone. Now, you say, boy, it seems like that big of an event would take up all of the book of Revelation. But that's not the context of Revelation. And this is why I say it's just a hint. Because the context of Revelation is to reveal Jesus. It's the coming of Christ. And the rapture is not the second coming of Christ. And we've talked about that. We talked about it whenever we started this series, and many of you already knew that. I mean, it's not anything necessarily new. The rapture is not the second coming of Christ. It precedes the second coming of Christ. The rapture is Jesus coming in the air to call us up to him, but he will not come down to the earth until 7 years after that takes place. And so the context of Revelation is revealing Jesus Christ and revealing him to the world, and certainly the Battle of Armageddon and all of that. Now, those are huge events as well, but the rapture, again, should get our attention. No doubt, it should definitely have our attention. And so the rapture is not a revealing of Jesus Christ. However, the rapture is a removal of Christians before the tribulation. And let's make sure we understand that completely. The rapture is not every eye shall see him. The rapture is we're gone. There won't be much for anybody to see. In fact, it will be what they don't see that I think is the most intriguing thing about the rapture as far as the rest of the world is concerned. Are you listening? I mean, seriously, to me, how will they explain the rapture? But again, that's not necessarily our purpose here. It is something we can contemplate, and I hope you think about every now and then, because the Bible says that the world, they will believe a lie. God will send a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. And I think in my mind, by the way, years ago, my mind couldn't even comprehend how people could even explain any of it. I'm starting to, see how fast with the internet, how fast things spread and news spreads, whether it be good, whether it be bad, whether it be true or whether it be false, it spreads. And it'll spread fast, and I can see now the acceptance of all this. But I am intrigued by all of that. So again, the rapture for the Christian is to remove us before the tribulation, and we'll talk about that. So really, this lesson deals with this ascension of a saint. And again, I'm just looking at the first one and a half verses. So number one, Roman number one, is a type of the rapture. And here we have again, just a hint. Okay, it's a hint here. Chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 3, churches do this, don't do this. Here's, and we covered each church, we covered each thing that was said to them, and this is for the present. Here's what I want you to do. I'm tracking your works. I'm keeping up with what you're doing. I'm watching what you do. I'm not, I'm you're accountable for this, and I commend you for this, and I condemn you for this, and all of that to the churches, and then all of a sudden now, chapter 4, and there's no church. We're not dealing with churches anymore. Now chapter 4, all of a sudden, there is no church. Understand, that's how it's going to be when the rapture takes place. I call it a hint because it is how it's going to be. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, churches are being talked about, and there's persecution here, and there's problems there, and Berean Baptist Church does exist, and our buses are running, and our programs are going, and our shepherds are being picked up, and our shepherds' program's going on, and all these things are taking place, and one day, the rapture is going to take place, and all of a sudden, we're gone. We're just gone. I don't know about you, I just got those chill things, you know, not because it's cold, we're just gone. The buses aren't running. The lights are on, but nobody's home. Amen. Yeah. Berean Baptist Academy. Yeah. We're sending out our SAT. The students did their SATs last week and they love that. You know, all you have to do is just fill in the little hole, in a little hole, and color in the right one, and or just guess, you know. But anyway, all those SAT scores, everything's going out, and kids going off to college, and ACT scores are all going out, and all that's going out everywhere. And do you understand that there will be some students, if the rapture takes place, who won't ever go to college on this earth, and they just won't be there. It's awesome to think about, isn't it? It really is. My rapture picture from back in the 70s. We've talked about that. Some of you have that. And, you know, it is a gripping idea of how it might be. Your car just all of a sudden is empty. Your plane all of a sudden is, a third empty. By the way, if the pilot happens to be saved, it's not only empty, it's in trouble. And the United States of America, it'll be total, complete chaos in America. I mean, you cannot imagine. I personally think, because I don't see the United States in the end times, I don't see it being a world power like it certainly is right now, I think that the rapture will cause the chaos that the enemies of the United States are waiting for, and they will nuke the United States into being not a power anymore. Now, again, that's my own opinion. Can't prove it. Don't want to try. Amen. But I think the U.S. is not really a major player in the end times. But again, try to imagine. Now, you know, other countries obviously will be affected. There are Christians in other countries. We're not saying that there's not, but there's certainly, by far, are more Christians, I think, in the United States, and Christians in key positions in the United States. It will be devastating. So, a type of the rapture. Come up hither are the words that are used, and I've heard many preachers refer to those words. I don't know what the shout is. I don't know what all, but come up hither would work. Amen. And certainly it worked with John as far as rapturing him out of there. Rapture means to transport from one place to another. And really, I mean, some have said, well, it means a snatching away. And the word rapture is nowhere in the Bible. It is a word we use to describe this snatching away, this transporting, this a miraculous kind of a transporting. And again, there is a hint here of that taking place. There are no details, only because that's not the purpose here. It is the purpose of Revelation to reveal Jesus. But there are a lot of things in Scripture about the rapture and how it is, I believe, imminent. That means it could happen any time. We sing the song. I don't know how old the song is. It could happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How many of you know that song? That's an old song. But it could have happened in a moment then when that song was written, and it still could happen. It's imminent. It can happen any time. It could happen before this lesson is finished. We're in the middle of the lesson. The rapture takes place, and we're right there with the Lord. We'll let him finish the lesson. And that'd work. And that'd be exciting. So I'm just saying that it is a mystery. And therefore, it is not mentioned here. It's not mentioned in detail here, but there are a lot of scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Of course, just talked about 1 Corinthians 15, talking about Easter and the resurrection. But here it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Okay, you know, mysteries, we don't get a lot of details about mysteries. How many of you know that the more details you get about something, the less mystery it is? So there's not a lot of details about a mystery. But God says, "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That verse is in many nurseries all across America. "We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed." Anyway, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." See that? In a moment. Twinkling of an eye. Okay, this isn't a process here. This isn't slow motion. It's blink. How fast is a twinkling of an eye? Who knows? Nanosecond. It's faster than I can say blink. It's faster than that. Okay, that's a rapture. Okay, you're not partially in and partially out. If you're out, you're out. If you're in, you're in. Blink, it's faster than that. Okay, and we're gone. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last. By the way, a twinkling of an eye is faster than a blinking of the eye. I mean, a blink is fast, but a twinkling is just a twinkle. It's faster. Okay, there's no, you know, I've had people say, "Well, when the trumpet sounds, I'll get right with God then." No, you won't have time. It's a twinkling of an eye. All right? "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That's good. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." That's a new body. "This mortal must put on immortality. And it is a mystery as to when this is going to take place. We just know that it is going to take place. It is a secret." Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord our God. The secret, there are some secret things that only God knows. And when the rapture takes place, only the Father knows. That's an amazing thing too. It is a mystery. It is a secret. By the way, the whole thing is mysterious, because how in the world can it take place? How can it be? And that is a mystery. Mark chapter 13. Go there. Mark 13 and verse 32. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. And here's a key. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." Now, what part of this verse is not true? No part. It's all true. Okay, "Of that day and that hour knoweth no man." Was the camping fellow, was he a man? The guy that predicted it was going to be whenever he said it was going to be? Yeah, he's a man. Not going to happen. The guy that predicted it was going to be in 1979, is he a man? Yeah. Joseph Smith, he a man? Who's the guy, Seventh-day Adventist? Miller, was he a man? Was that 1844? Something like that. I don't know all those dates. But was he a man? Yes. Okay. Did Jesus come when they said? No. You know why? No man knows. So for me to sit down and find out dates and all these kinds of things and try to figure out this complex code and try to break the mystery down and okay, it'll be this day, that is first of all unscriptural. It is second of all totally not what God wants. Totally, completely not what God wants. Okay? I mean, because of our human nature is this way. If we know somebody's coming to inspect at a certain time, we're going to let things be dirty up until right before that certain time, then we'll clean things up. That is our nature, because we're sinners. God said, I'm not going to tell you what day. I'm not going to tell you what hour. I'm not going to tell you when it's going to be. It is a mystery. And he says, nobody knows. He said, I'm not even going to tell an angel, because the angel might tell. He said, nobody knows. So here's what he says. By the way, if you knew the date, then verses 33 to 37 wouldn't be important, would they? If somehow somebody knew the date, and there's still people predicting. There's still, they're out there. They get crowds to follow them. It is unbelievable how many will follow somebody who gives a date because it soothes their conscience or whatever. But notice verse 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Okay, well, I see this happening, and I see that. Oh, I see all kinds of stuff happening, but there is no way in this world I'm going to even try to guess. What is this? This December, doesn't the Mayan calendar say this is it? Something happens, gravitational forces and all that stuff, and we all just go, boink, and we're gone. That's in the Mayan calendar. Do they still exist? Does anybody know? I don't know of any Mayans that are still existing, so they must not be that smart. Anyway, but the point I'm trying to make is, okay, take heed, watch and pray. That's what he wants us to do. Verse 34, for the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. The key there is watch. Amen? Watch. Watch and pray. Be ready so he comes, if he comes at any time, you are ready. Acts 1, verse 6, look at it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Acts 1:6, the Bible says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. See that? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's for you to be busy. I will give you power to work. Amen. And he wants us to just be working. What did he say to the churches? Chapters 2 and 3. I know thy works. I know your works. I know what you're doing. I'm paying very close attention to that. I want you to be very busy. Ushers, we need you to come. We'll go ahead and get an offering here, and you just go ahead. I'm going to keep going. Luke 1, verse 32. Luke 1, verse 32. So, obviously, Old Testament prophecy pointed to these things, as it did to many, many things, and Old Testament prophecy is always true. It always has come true. It always will come true. Bible says in Luke 1, which I need to get there, Luke 1 and verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And so the announcement of his birth, It is the birth of the one who would take the throne of David. That's what they're asking about in Acts chapter 1. Is this the time? Is this when the kingdom will be restored? Is this when it is? And by the way, Peter said of David, go to Acts 2, verse 30. Acts chapter 2 and verse 30. And I say all this because there is much prophecy. These guys... You know, the disciples, they were learning their Bible. He had been teaching them. They knew prophecy. They knew the Old Testament. Acts chapter 2 and verse 30, the Bible says, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And that's what, by the way, that's what Revelation's all about, revealing Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, Jesus, and his throne. But the point was, in Acts chapter 1, it's not for you to know when, it is for you to do what I tell you to do. You don't need to know when, you just need to do what I've told you to do. And again, we understand that the rapture of the church is going to take place before the tribulation. There is no sign, there's no event that is going to point to the rapture. Okay, there's nothing we're going to be able to point at or to be able to say, okay, this means the rapture's tomorrow. This means the rapture is any time. The truth is, the rapture is any time anyway. In John's day, the Isle of Patmos, he was raptured. Understand, God has not been waiting on man's technology. God has not been waiting on man to catch up. God took Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. God took him. Amen. God sent a chariot of fire down to Elijah and picked him up and took him. Okay, God is not waiting on man's technology. Okay, we had a vacation Bible school several years ago, and we built a transporter, and it worked very, very well. I mean, we transported people from stores into the auditorium. We transported some folks from houses into the auditorium. We were transporting people from my office here into the auditorium. It was amazing, and I know many of you sat totally in awe at the abilities of our staff to be able to build a transporter that was Star Trekian from years and years ago, and it had to amaze you completely. God is not waiting on us to send him the design of the transporter. Some of you are looking like, wow, I remember that was awesome. But, any moment. There's nothing we're waiting on. There's nothing. There's no sign. There's no thing that has to happen. He could come now. He could come anytime. Now, certainly, there are many, many signs that show us how things can happen, even more than what we ever could imagine. There are things that that are amazing to us. I just found this out, that there is now, and I already thought this was going on, but I'm not sure, but they're putting black boxes like they have in planes. They're talking about putting those in everybody's cars. And it's a safety feature. It'll plus they can analyze your wreck that you had, oh boy, and we're already giving them everything they need. When we do Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff, we're giving them all the information they ever wanted that we would never have. If the government sent you a survey and said, what do you like, what do you dislike, you'd say, I don't want them to know this, and then you put it on Facebook. And you're shocked that anybody knows. How did they know? How do they not know? I challenge you to do this, and I'm getting way off track, but I can, because I've been gone, and I forgive easily, or I get forgiven easily. Do this sometime. Just type in your name. Google search. Just do a Google search on Google. What? Google. Whoever came up with that? Anyway, they're millionaires, so I'm glad they did. I always ask Dave, I said, why didn't we invent Google? Anyway, type your name in sometime. Just type your name in. Do a Google search on your name. You'll be amazed. You will be amazed what it'll tie you to. And you say, how do they know that? How do they know that? They're figuring out what you buy, what you do. You ever do surveys on the web, the internet? You know, they want to know what you like, what you don't like, and that's so that little things can pop up that you like. How do they know I like that? How do they? You know what? Who is? Because the computer's tracking it all. It's got it all tracked. By the way, the devil's been doing it for years. He knows what you like too. Somebody said, can the devil, I had a teenager, we talked about this on senior trip, can the devil, he can't read our minds, can he? How does he know what I'm thinking? He doesn't know what you're thinking. He knows how you thought. Because he tracks it. He keeps track of it. He knows how you, what you did when you were tempted with this. He knows how you don't respond to that temptation, but he watches how you respond to this temptation. Don't you wonder why your emails, how you get some of the emails that you get, and it's stuff you actually like? How do they know? What are they? Because they know where you visit. They know what you do. They track all that stuff. I don't know how. I don't understand any of it. I'm still at the one and the zero. And I haven't even figured that out yet, how everything could all be a one and a zero. Seems like if they figure out how to get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 involved in that, we could have unbelievable things. But they just look at me like, you're not very smart, but I'm not. But I'm just saying, it's an exciting day we live in, folks. It really is. We'll continue here, but I have to end because we have to have the morning service. Thank you so much, Father, for the Word of God. Thank you that it's not hard to understand your Word. Thank you that we can know the author and that the Holy Spirit of God can guide us into the truth of the Scripture so that we're not left behind. There are many things we won't know, and certainly many that we don't know. But Lord, you've revealed to us everything we need to know so that we can serve you and we can please you. And I'm excited, Lord, about doing just that. I pray that you'll help us to do it, help us to do right, and Lord, to look for the rapture. And if not, though, to be very, very busy serving you till you do come. Bless our morning service. Please speak to hearts, I pray in Jesus' name.